Nobel. Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, the Swedish chemist, he got quite a shock in 1888. I think it was February of that year. His brother died in a skiing accident, I think it was, in France. And the local paper published the obituary, but they got a bit confused. So they published the obituary of not Ludwig, who died, but Albert Nobel. The inventor, and the obituary headline was "The Merchant of Death is Dead." So it's a fairly, fairly solemn headline over it all. And it went on to say that Dr. Alfred Nobel, who had become rich by finding more ways to kill by finding ways to kill people faster than anyone else in history. And poor Alfred Nobel, who hadn't died, but read this and thought, oh, that's my legacy. I'm the merchant of death. And it was after reading his own obituary that he thought, no, I don't want that to be my legacy. I want something different to that. So that's when he set up the Nobel Foundation and gave the vast bulk of his estate into that, you know, and obviously it still exists today, giving awards for humanitarian efforts, cultural efforts, scientific efforts and advances. And so people don't remember Alfred Nobel as the merchant of death. People remember him for, I guess, his humanitarianism, for this gift. I think, looking the other day, he gave, the capital is still worth about 400 million, and it's from that that the interest generates the prizes each and every year. But he read his obituary and thought, I don't want that to be my legacy. I want a different legacy. And the prayer that culminates that Psalm 90 is a prayer for a legacy. So twice at the end, the sort of culminating prayer, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord, would you give us something that lasts? Would you enable us to do something that endures, that isn't just fleeting, that will resonate down the generations? And I thought that was not a bad thing to sort of start the year with. I mean, we're way into the year now, but the first of these sort of meetings of midweek in Mayfair, here's a prayer that we do something that matters, that lasts, that the Lord would establish throughout all generations. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor, theologian, in his family, it was tradition, every New Year's Eve, they'd read Psalm 90 to say, this year, Lord, would you establish the work of our hands? Would you enable us to live in such a way that what we do matters, that it lasts? So that's what we're thinking about just for a couple of weeks, that the Lord may establish the work of our hands. But that climactic prayer comes at the end of quite a lot of other thoughts that Moses gives. And in one sense, if the work of our hands is to be established, if we're to do something that matters, that lasts, there are a number of other things, truths that we need to get clear in our heads, first of all. Very briefly, Psalm 90, if you're looking at it in a Bible, it begins book four of the Psalms, five books in the collection of Psalms. The first three are dominated by David, but by the end of book three, it's all gone wrong. So the one before this, Psalm 89, says, Lord, you've rejected us. Jerusalem has been destroyed. It's all gone terribly, terribly wrong. And so Psalm 90, it's a new book, and it's as if how it's the collection's put together, they're saying, oh, let's go back to Moses. It's all gone terribly wrong. So let's go back to Moses and see what we can learn from him. If you want to avoid wasting your life, if you want the work of your hands established, here's what you need to know. As Jimmy said, we're just looking at the first 12 verses today. There's more than enough there. The downside of that is that the first 12 verses are the slightly bleak ones, and then the second half of the psalm is the more positive. So it's all bleak, today, and then next week is all positive. Just so you know, sorry about that, but it seemed too much to do in 1 week. But so where we land today is that the first prayer, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If we're going to have work that establishes forever, we need to know the length of our days, and that'll make us wise. So a few little things before that. In order to be wise, you got to know this. You got to know that the Lord is our home, that human lives are but dust, and our lives quickly pass. Okay, those three. Let's work through them briefly. Only brief comments on each one. But if you're going to be wise, you need to know, first of all, that the Lord is our home, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is our home, verse 1. Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He is our dwelling place, says Moses. Not that he provides a dwelling place. I mean, that's true. The next psalm says that, Psalm 91, that God is the one who provides shelter. No, he is the dwelling place. Or to put it colloquially, he's home. Now, for most of us, sadly, it isn't always the case, but for most of us, I would hope that home is a nice word. We're going home. After 2 years of working from home, we may be sick and tired of it and want four different walls, but in the normal scheme of life, home says familiarity, comfort, convenience. Even when we go on holiday, holidays are brilliant, but quite often, particularly as you get older, I think, you say, oh, it's nice to be home. Home. God is a home, a dwelling place. In the midst of all sorts of other uncertainties, he is a constant. Before the mountains were born, before anything else, he's God and he's home. If I could put it in these terms, we have some of our dearest friends as a family. The husband is an army officer, and has been for whatever the last 30 odd years, and therefore every 2 years or something, 18 months to 2 years, he gets moved around the country or overseas, different jobs, maybe in London working Whitehall, maybe overseas doing something, but every 18 months to 2 years he moves. So one of the constants in their kitchen is they have a sign up, nice wooden sign, you know, home is where the heart is. But sort of elegantly and aesthetically done, it's been readjusted, corrected, the sign, to home is where the army sends us. And then beneath that sign on hooks, there are about 15 other plaques, wooden plaques, of all the places they've lived since he and his wife married and the army has sent them. That's kind of tough. That constant movement, constant meeting people, constant. It's toughest, I think, of all on the kids. They've got two kids in their teens now who have been moved loads and loads. Now, at this stage of their life, they're in boarding school, just because it makes most sense. But we happened to see them at the weekend, and we're slightly talking about this. And the eldest, who is full cynical teenager, with a big smile on his face, and I think with a mild hint of sarcasm, although deep down, I'm sure he meant it. He said, home is where mum and dad are. And then he was a sort of teenager, so he went, well, you know, not really. I think he sort of realised he'd said something sort of emotive and pleasant and warm and nice, and then thought, no, I'm 16, I'm meant to be cynical and nasty. And so corrected himself immediately afterwards. But yeah, when you moved around location, when you moved through different countries, ever since you've been born in different places around the UK, home is, which where mum and dad are, that's home. And it's that sort of sense that Moses is talking here. The Lord is our dwelling place. He's continuity. He's stability. He's security, comfort. He's home. And he is throughout all generations. Everything else comes and goes. But there's a wonderful constancy to the Lord. So that's where Moses starts. If you can have a heart of wisdom, that the Lord is our home. That's the first thing you need to know. In contrast to that, verses 3-6, human lives are but dust. Verse 3, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that's just gone by, or like a watch in the night. So here's the contrast to the Lord who lasts through all generations. People turn to dust. Tomorrow, after much haggling and convoluted conversations with the tiny parish council of Frying, eventually tomorrow I'm now going to intern my parents' ashes. That's something Jay longs to do for his mother. But I'm going to do that tomorrow. And yeah, I love my parents dearly. I spent too much time in the last week looking at photos. Currently, they reside in a casket in the kitchen. But tomorrow, they will go into the ground. And they will very obviously return to dust. Having lived respectively 82 years, 77 years, they'll go back to dust. Greatly loved, yeah. An imprint upon their children, grandchildren, yeah. But not very long. By contrast, verse 4, for the Lord, 1,000 years, it's just a day to him. And we think 1,000 years is a long time. Anyone know anything that happened in the year 1022? I tried to find something of memorable note. I managed to find Harold Godwinson, he of Arrow in the Eye, it's Battle of Hastings. He was born in 1022. So that's the most exciting thing that history recalls of 1022, 1,000 years ago. Just a blink to the Lord. Or 1,000 years, it's just like a watch in the night to the Lord. In Hebrew thought, there are three watches in the night. You divide the night into three-hour chunks. 1,000 years, just like 3 days, or like very quick. Doesn't last long at all. Verse 5, you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new. By evening, it's dry and withered. People swept away. Very roughly, I read, there are approximately 117 billion humans who have lived on planet Earth. Obviously not currently, but throughout history. All gone. It's just a few of us left at the moment. And we'll go soon. And verse 6, look, there's a new birth, always exciting. A child, a grandchild, very exciting. But in the scheme of life, the scheme of this world, it's just like a morning and an evening. That's a bit depressing, isn't it? I did warn you. The Lord is our home. Human lives are but dust. And verses 7 to 11, a bit more than that. Our days quickly pass. So if verses 3-6 are sort of general observation, verses 7 to 11, we. It all becomes a bit more personal here. And here's why humans return to dust. It's because of our behavior, verses 7 and 8. We are consumed by your anger, terrified by your indignation. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. Now, apparently, there's a woman called Sue Gray carrying out an investigation into events at Number 10. Did you know? Apparently, this is taking place. I suppose a few secrets will be brought to light. I guess that's what she's doing. But not everything. I suppose everything's brought to light. Certainly not every unwise comment, not every mocking of the government's rules, not every, well, we're important, so we're going to crack on and have a few drinks while no one else is allowed to. Not everything's going to be brought to light. I imagine a few things worse than let's have a few drinks were said in Number 10 during the period under her investigation. But Moses here says, a day comes when all of our secret sins are exposed, all of our iniquities revealed before the Lord. Everything. Everything embarrassing, everything we've thought, said, done. I mean, golly, if everything's exposed, would any of us have any friends left, any credibility left? But here, all secret sins are exposed, set forth before the judge of the universe. And that's why, says Moses, because of our behavior, that's why things are not as they should be. That's why death is in the world. That's why mortals are all turned back to dust. Now, pause. I mean, this is a slightly bleak way of looking at the world, and it's not everything he's going to say about life in this world. But it is true, isn't it? As you grow older and the decades roll by, it's not just the years, the decades slightly roll by, and you think, well, where did my 40s go? Where did my 40s go? What even happened in my 40s? Where did my 50s go? How could that have happened? As decades start to roll by, Moses says, we need to know, verse 11, if only we knew the power of God's anger, that his wrath is as great as the fear due. Only if you know he's a home, our lives are fleeting, and it's because of human sin, only then will we sensibly say, verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us. That's what we get to in Psalm 90 today. Teach us so that we're wise. Teach us to count, Lord. Well, the basic things, first things you teach a child, isn't it? 1, 2, what's 2 plus 1? What's 3 plus 7? Teach us, Lord. Teach us to count. It was a little while ago, a guy who works locally in Mayfair, successful, he said he'd played golf with his lawyer, or the lawyer that did most of his work in the summer. He said he's a very successful lawyer who works for a magic circle firm, you know, for numerous years, that his drawings have been 7 figures plus. And the lawyer was in his late 50s. And the guy I know said to him, so, you know, retirement, when's that going to be? I mean, you must be thinking, I've had enough of this. And the lawyer said, you're nearly, just a few more years, I think, and I've got enough for retirement. And the guy said, oh, seriously, I mean, you must have racked up enough in the pension. I mean, presumably you can't even stuff much more in the pension pot. That's got to be full, and the ices and everything. What are you talking about? Why don't you just get out of the stress? No, just what is 2 or 3 more years? And then I think I've got enough. Then I'll be comfortable. And the chap said, yeah, I played golf with him in the summer and he was dead in the autumn. Just heart attack. I mean, combination of things. He was overweight, but a lot of it stress of the work, not taking care of himself. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If you know that this world, if you know that your time in this world is limited, what are you going to do with it? Lord, if you're going to establish the work of our hands, we have to know that our time in this world is limited, and therefore we use it wisely. So the most important thing to do before the clock ticks down to zero for you and me is to address the issue of God's anger, to address the issue of our secret sins and what becomes of them. Now, we think more about that next week, where we look at the more positive half of Psalm 90. But the Christian says, Jesus is my dwelling place. Jesus is my home. Jesus was consumed by God's anger so that I can enjoy his love. He passed away under God's wrath so that I can live in his grace. So if you and I are going to do something that lasts forever, if we want the work of our hands to be established, that our legacy counts, that our legacy is of worth, well, we need to count our days rightly and ensure that Jesus is our dwelling place, which means that there is something beyond the sleep of death that this psalm reminds us of. That's not everything we need to know. I say the more positive half actually is next week, in the requests of 13 to 16. But undoubtedly, that is true. If we want the Lord to establish the work of our hands, if we want what we're doing in our 70, 80 odd years here to be of value, we've got to count and know that the clock is ticking and ask, Lord, will you be my dwelling place so that I'm not exposed when I stand before you? That's only half a song. But let me pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the realism of a psalm such as this. We all know that our time on earth is finite, and yet functionally sometimes we forget that. We all know that wisdom comes from counting our days aright and knowing that you may take us when we're not expecting it. Therefore, now is the time to ensure that we've made you our dwelling place. Now is the time to do something of worth that lasts beyond our small 70, 80 years. Father, make us wise because we can count rightly and know that we have to be right before you. So, Father, please, would we make Jesus our dwelling place? We ask in his name. Amen.